want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. We'll look in verses 16, 17, and 18. The Apostle Paul here is ministering many things to the church in this fourth chapter. He gives us a lot of great revelation, tells us that if the gospel's hid, it's because the devil's doing it. Amen. Blinding people's minds. He talks about we have this glory in earthen vessels that God, or this power in earthen vessels, God should get the glory out of it. And so he talks about the spirit of faith. He talks about all kinds of wonderful things in this chapter. And then he gets down here in verse 16 and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Thank God we don't. Amen. I refuse to lose heart. Refuse to get discouraged. Refuse to get defeated. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice this. He says, we don't faint. We don't get lighthearted. We don't get defeated. We don't get discouraged. We refuse to give up. He says, even though things around us are going bad, things around us are not happening just right. And you know, it's amazing. He just told us, you know, that we have the same spirit of faith. He just told us, you know, that we have this anointing, this presence of God, this glory of God in these earthen vessels. And God has chosen to do that. And so he's talking about all these things that the Lord is doing for us. And then he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Hallelujah. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, why is it so important for us to renew our inward man? Because he puts great emphasis. He says, there's an affliction coming to you, but it's a light affliction compared to the glory of God. And he says, it's not forever. It's just temporary. And he says, even though a lot of these things are going on, and even though you may be getting tired. Now, we can also look at this. The outward man is perishing. We're getting older. Amen. Whether you can say amen because you are, whether or not you say amen or not. Okay. Praise God. And so, you know, the body gets older and it will eventually stop. But, you know, this is the thing. Let's just don't look at it as you know, well, the old man, you know, our body's getting whatever. Let's look at it like this. Though there's things around us decaying, though there's troubles around us, though there's problems around us, afflictions around us, problems, the inward man's renewed day by day. What's he saying? He's saying even in an imperfect situation, even when there's pressure, even when there's tough times, even when there's affliction, you can still be renewed in the Spirit. You can still walk in a fresh anointing, praise God. You do not have to have perfect environment to have a fresh anointing from God. Oh, come on, give me a good amen, somebody. He's saying even in the moment of affliction, in the moment of despair, in the moment of things coming against you, you can be renewed in your inward man. Somebody says, well, why is that so important? Well, think about it for a moment. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life. Amen. In other words, the reason I need to keep my inward man stirred up is because that's where all the issues of life, that's where all the forces of life, that's where faith's coming out of. Amen. That's where righteousness is operating. That's where the authority operates. It comes out of the inward man, praise God. Amen. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What's he mean, the spirit of man is the candle? The spirit of man is your inward man, the hidden man of the heart. And he says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Why do I need my spirit man renewed and stirred up? Because that is where God enlightens me. That's where God leads me. That's where God talks to me. That's where God shows me His will. And guess what? If my spirit is down, I'm not going to discern the voice of the Lord. If my spirit man is not flowing, then I'm not going to be able to release faith. If my spirit is down and if I'm defeated on the inside, then I'm not going to be able to release the power and the authority of God that has been placed in me. Amen. So therefore, I need to be renewed constantly in my spirit. Matthew 12:35, the Lord Jesus Christ said what? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, his inward man, his spirit does what? Brings forth good things. Notice Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. In other words, what you've been putting in your heart is what is going to come out of you. It's what you're going to produce in you. And so Paul, writing here, is warning the people. He says there is a devil, and he's out to blind people, and he's out to keep the gospel. But listen, God has invested in you His glory. God has put His anointing in you, and He gets the glory. It's even in earthen vessels, in these vessels that are imperfect, in these vessels that are struggling. God has placed His glory inside of you. He's placed His power, His anointing, His presence on the inside of you. And then God has given you His Word, and God has given you the spirit of faith where you can believe that Word in your heart and say it with your mouth and have what you say, praise God. And he says, listen, he says, you need to understand that whenever you're in a place where there's affliction, there's tests, there are trials, there's trouble, you don't need to get wearied, you don't need to give up, you don't need to get discouraged. He said, because even though everything around you is decaying, the inward man is renewed day by day. God has a fresh anointing for you every day. Why? So you can handle the problems. So you can deal with the struggle. So you can overcome when the enemy tries to bring you down. So you don't lose your joy in the midst of the test. How many of you know if you don't lose your joy, you won't lose the victory? Amen? You'll win, praise God, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So Paul is speaking to us here, and he's talking to us about dealing with affliction, dealing with tests, dealing with hard times. The word affliction here doesn't mean sickness or disease. It just means it's a bad time. Anybody had any tough times? You understand what afflictions come for? They come to steal the word out of your heart. See, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, teaching about the parable of the sower, He said, God, you know, He uses the speaker to sow that word, the preacher to sow the word, and people hear that word and get it in their heart, and here comes the devil immediately trying to steal it out of your heart. And one of the things he uses is afflictions. And so therefore, we understand affliction is a test. It's an evil time. It's a struggle. It's a problem. It's something the enemy's throwing at you to get you to give up on God. So God says, in the midst of that test, in the midst of that affliction, He says, you need to get yourself renewed in the Lord. Now, there are two things I want to bring out to you that will help you to get renewed right in the midst of the test. The first thing, in verse 17 and 18, He said this. He said, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. What's he saying? The affliction is but for a moment. Don't make a decision in the moment of the affliction. See, a lot of people, the moment the test comes, they make a decision to bail out on God or do something crazy. Amen? Don't do it. Just remember, the affliction's not going to last forever. The test isn't going to last forever. The problem's not going to last forever. The condition's not going to last forever. Don't make a decision that's going to affect you over the next few years over a situation that's going to be done in the next few hours or days. Amen? And so God speaks to us. He says, number one, realize your test is but a light affliction in the eyes of God, and it's but for a moment. Another thing you could learn on that is this. Psalm 34, 19 says what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Huh? Many. I mean, you're going to face a lot of these throughout your life. Isn't that right? Come on, you say amen. You're not getting in doubt and unbelief. It's going to happen whether you say amen or not. Many are the afflictions. Somebody said, why do you say that? Well, the Bible says that. I didn't say that. God said that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, if He's a good God, why would He say that? Because He's an intelligent God as well as a good God. And He knows as long as you're on this earth, you're going to have some tests and trials. Amen? You're going to have some evil days and some bad days and some tough days and some days that you aren't going to like what's going on around you. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. But aren't you glad that the Spirit of God didn't stop there when David was laying this thing out? But what? The Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah. Now, when you take Psalm 34, 19 and tie it in with 2 Corinthians 4, 17, you find that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, God's going to deliver you out of it. And though the devil meant it for your bad, God is going to turn it around for your good. And it's going to work for you a much greater thing than it could have ever destroyed you with if you do what God wants you to do in the midst of the test. Amen. See, this is what Paul was talking about in Romans when he said that everything works for our good to them that love God. The affliction won't work for your good if you let it destroy you or let it determine what you're going to do. But if you allow the affliction to turn you to God, If you allow the test to turn you to God, if you allow the problem to turn you to God, and then God delivers you out of that affliction and that test and that trial, then what the devil did mean for your bad, God turns around for your good, and you come out of there with an experience saying, no matter what the devil throws at me, God is bigger and God is better. And when I turned it over to God, instead of getting weak, I grew stronger. Instead of being defeated, I got victory. Instead of doubting myself, I became more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, the second thing is you have to go ahead and understand that God wants you to be renewed in your spirit. He wants you to keep your spirit man alive. He wants you to keep your heart full of faith. He wants you to stay filled up with the Holy Ghost and filled up with the anointing of God, because it's the presence of God and the anointing of God that's going to get you the victory in the midst of the affliction. Amen? Now, here's the thing you've got to learn. Many times whenever you come right out of a great victory, you are getting set up for another great test. Anybody ever had an answer to your prayer and the next thing you knew, you was laying on your back and you thought, now how did that happen? I mean, I hardly got a hallelujah out of my mouth and I was right back into another test. Huh? Well, what? The devil's smart enough to know that if he can catch you with your guard down, then he can maybe sometimes get you. And so what he'll do is when you're elated, what you do is you drop your guard, you start praising God, and you think, whew, I can breathe now. It's over. I don't have to worry about anything. And many times when we come out of a great victory, we find ourselves back into another great test. Let me show it to you. Look over in Numbers real quickly. Numbers, the 21st chapter. You know, you can learn a lot of things by going back to the Old Testament and reading some of the stories there about some of the good decisions and some of the bad decisions those folks made as they traveled throughout the wilderness and they continued to pursue God. But you see here in Numbers chapter 21, the Bible says that King Herod of the Canaanites, you know, he wouldn't let them pass through. And in fact, he threatened Israel and he came out against them. And so Israel, you know, they got before God and said, Lord, if you give us victory over this guy, we'll just take him down. And we'll just give you all the grace. So God granted them victory. And they just took down this king and took over all of his spoil and defeated their enemy. And here they are, praise God, on a high. Amen. Just won a great battle. God just gave them total victory over their enemy. Now look what happens in verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor all the way over to by the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. The word discouraged in Hebrew also can mean impatient. Hallelujah. Meaning what? It was taking longer to get where they wanted to go than they wanted it to happen. Anybody ever been believing God for something and it took you longer to get what you was in and it still doesn't look like it's coming? Huh? Have you ever thought that, you know, maybe, you know, I just knew all this problem was going to be over last week, and here it is, it's as bad this week as it was last week? You ever had symptoms linger? Have you ever become discouraged because the trip didn't end when you thought it was supposed to? Or you didn't arrive when you thought it was supposed to? And they became impatient with God. In other words, why are we going the long route? And then look what happens when you get discouraged. Now, you've got to remember, they just came out of a great victory. They had just defeated another king and just had, God had granted them His grace, showed them His power and His love. And now here they are, and it's taken them too long to get where they were wanting to get. And they become impatient. They get discouraged. And you know what comes out of impatience and discouraged? Verse 5 says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. You start murmuring. You start complaining. Why? Because whatever you have in the abundance of your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And if you haven't kept your inward man renewed, then what's going to come out of your mouth is aggravation, discouragement, impatience, problem. Amen? And so now here they are. They have been feeding on discouragement. They have been feeding on impatience. They have been feeding on how long are we going to have to do this? Why is it not happening? Why aren't we there yet? And now it starts coming out. Now, what do? They make a mistake. They don't realize that the person that is causing the affliction and the struggle and the delay is not God. And it's not the preacher. It's the devil. Amen. It's the enemy. And so now what happens is this. Here's the ploy of the devil. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to cause what you're believing for to take longer to get to you. Delay it so you can get discouraged, you can get impatient, you can get upset. And instead of realizing it's the devil that blinds people's minds, it's the devil that comes to steal the word, it's the devil that causes the affliction, you get mad at God because it hadn't happened yet. Now the problem with that is this: you get mad at God, start murmuring against God, and get murmuring against God's people and God's ministry and God's leadership and God's anointing. You're putting yourself in a place where God can't help you. Because you see, it's God who's going to renew you. It's God who's going to deliver you. What did he say in Psalm 34:19? But he, God, delivers them out of them all. And if you're fussing at God, you're fussing at the one's going to deliver you out of this thing. So what do? They start murmuring, they start fussing, and all of a sudden, here comes some fiery serpents. These snakes are coming out from everywhere, biting the people. And the Bible says many of them died. Now look in verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Look what they said. They came to the revelation that, wait a minute, we're wrong. We're missing it here. We got mad at the wrong person. And somebody says, "Well, God sent fire serpents." You got to understand, under the Hebrew, there's Hebrews written under the all the verbs in Hebrew are causative; they're never permissive. And so that's why it says God sends sickness, God sends evil, God doesn't send anything. Actually, the way it reads is God permits. And so what happened is this: because of their sin, they're not only getting delayed from getting to where they wanted to get, they're not only not arriving to what they set themselves to arrive to, now they set themselves where the enemy has a right to come in and bite them and kill them. Now, I know nobody here in this church or this area would do that, but they did it. And they got themselves in even worse trouble. They went from discouragement and impatience to murmuring, complaining, to getting bit by the enemy. Why? Because Satan is not out just to stop you from being blessed. He's out to kill you. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So he's not satisfied that you're discouraged. He's not satisfied that you're murmuring. He really wants to take you out. And so the people, praise God, right in the midst of the affliction, they catch themselves and they say, "Wait a minute, God's not the problem. We're actually the problem. We should have stayed patient. We should have stayed, spiritually renewed. We should have kept ourselves in a place where we didn't get discouraged." And so they go to Moses and say, "Listen, we've sinned against God and against you. We need some help here. Why don't you pray for us?" And so Moses does, and look what happens. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, that it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked on the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, the word "look" here doesn't mean a glance. If you study this out a little bit, it says this: if anybody got bit, God said, when you're in the midst of this thing, just keep your gaze fixed on that serpent on the pole, that snake on the pole. Don't just look up and look away. Fix your gaze. Set your attention on it. Why? Because that serpent on a pole represents redemption. That is what Jesus said. He said, like Moses set the serpent on the pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What was that serpent on the pole? It was representative of Christ taking our sin and our bondage and our destruction and everything else that would come upon us and becoming sin for us on the cross. And when we gaze upon Him and look upon Him, no matter what's going on around us, there is peace comes in our life. There's healing comes in our life. There's victory. When you get your gaze on God and off of the problem, then all of a sudden it doesn't matter whether there's snakes on your feet, whether they're throwing snakes on your head, because it doesn't make any difference anymore, because greater is He that's in me than he that's against me. And devil, you can't bite me, you can't stop me, you can't delay me, you can't have any place in me, because my attention's not on you, my attention is on the Lord. Hallelujah. See, if we're in a struggle, we're in affliction, folks, get your eyes off of the affliction. Get your eyes off of the test. Get your eyes off the symptoms. Get your eyes off of how long it's taken to get where you're at. Get your eyes off of how much farther you got to go. And put your eyes on the Lord. But don't just gaze up and say, well, that's good. I'm going to church on Sunday and forget about it on Monday. No, what are you going to do? I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I don't care if I hear a serpent over here hissing at me. I don't care if one runs across my feet. I am not going to look down to see what's going on. Oh, you didn't hear me. Because you see, I have set my faith in God, and I believe He's going to clean the snakes out of my life. Amen? I have set my eyes upon the Lord, and I believe He's going to get me through this mess. I was a part of getting in this mess, but now God's going to get me out of this mess because I'm going to be a part of getting out of it. Notice that God didn't just come down, pick him up, and set him someplace where there were no snakes. God says, here's how you get through the snakes. Keep your eyes on your redemption and not on your problem. And if you'll focus on Jesus, He'll get you through that mess. Amen? So right now, if you're in a test, you're in an affliction, you're in a troubled time, you're in a time of evil, you're in a time of it's not breaking out like you hoped it would. Instead of just all the time being bombarded by all the problems and all the things that are trying to bite you, take your eyes off of the affliction and put your eyes on Jesus. And say, Lord, I'm going to just stay focused on you. I'm not going to respond to the hiss of the enemy. I'm not going to respond to the length of time that I have to go. I'm not going to respond. Lord, I'm going to praise you right here where I'm at, praise God. I'm going to get renewed right here in the midst of all the affliction. Right now, I'm going to go ahead, though the outward man is perishing, even though things around me aren't just exactly like I want them, the inward man can be renewed right now. And I can receive from you that which you said I can have. See, that's the walk with God, folks. That is allowing God to bless you even in the midst of the test. Amen? See, the Lord spoke to me one time, and I have to go back, and He'll remind me every now and then, and I have to go back and rehearse it to myself. And He said this to me. He said, don't run so fast to get to the finish line that you don't enjoy the scenery on the way. What do you mean? Enjoy the trip. See, a lot of us, when we're wanting to get somewhere, whether it's with our faith, with our prayers or whatever, it's like us trying to go on vacation and it's an 8-hour drive and we don't enjoy anything until we pull into the parking lot of the place where we're going. We bypass everything. We you know, the kids are in the back. Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold it. We're going to be on vacation this week. I thought we was on vacation already. No, we're driving to vacation. But I'm hungry. We have a quarter of a tank of gas left in the car. When it's on empty, we'll get gas, we'll eat, and you'll go potty. But until then, shut up. Because we're going on vacation. You know, you'd be a whole lot better if you would just enjoy it from the time you start packing to go. And when you get in the car, you just drive and you enjoy the scenery. And you know, every now and then you get out and get an ice cream, you know, and you stop and walk around. And you know, then your vacation doesn't start 8 or 10 hours from now. It starts the moment that you start your journey. And you know, some of the greatest times of vacation was on the times of the journey, praise God, because good things that you didn't know was hopped in there and popped up. And that's what God is saying to us in this walk with Him. He's saying, don't be so focused on your healing that you don't enjoy my presence and walk in my power and see my miracles in your life to get your healing. Don't be so focused on getting those bills paid that you don't see my miracles in your life and bringing little things to you as I get you to that miracle here. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, learn and enjoy the trip all the way. Don't be like these people and fuss because you got to go so far to get where you're supposed to be. Just start enjoying the trip and watch God turn your affliction into a time of praise and blessing in your life. Amen? And you'll get renewed by doing that. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 40. Here the Bible says in Numbers that when they turned to God, God set them free. God delivered them. God renewed them. He blessed them. Praise God. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 28, listen to what Isaiah says about this. He says, have you not known and have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Hallelujah. What's that mean? God never gets tired, never gets worn out. And you are never, ever, 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 ever going to be able to figure Him out completely. Hallelujah. And about the time you think you know how God's going to do it, He'll do it a different way. And you say, well, He's already done it 100 different ways. Well, He's got 1 billion more different ways He can do it too. Hallelujah. He got ways you and I couldn't think of in 3 lifetimes. Amen. Heard Brother Hagin say one time the Lord spoke to him in a vision, told him something. He said, well, Lord, I've never seen that, and I've read the New Testament through 150 times. And he said, the Lord just smiled and said, son, there are a lot of things you hadn't seen. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't matter how many times you read it. God is greater than that. And notice what he says here. He gives power to the weak. Anybody weak? He's got some power for you. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Are you feeling weak and no might? There's some strength for you. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this. But those who wait upon the Lord, those who bind themselves to the Lord, those who unite themselves with the Lord, those who praise the Lord, those who minister to the Lord, those who take time to get in the presence of the Lord, what will He do? He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Now, folks, he's telling you, if you're trying to do it in your own strength to get through that test, even young people at times will falter. And if you're and even people that are in great shape will grow tired. And he says, so if you're trying to do it, it doesn't matter how youthful you are, doesn't matter how great a shape you are, doesn't matter how strong you are, you're probably not going to make it. But if you're in the midst of that test and in the midst of that trial and in that time of affliction, we'll turn to the Lord and begin to draw from Him and wait on Him and renew yourself in Him, He will give you strength to rise up and soar like an eagle. Meaning what? An eagle doesn't flop and flap around trying to get something. He catches the waves of the current of the air. And whenever that storm's coming, he just locks in those wings and the current actually lifts him up and he soars over top of it. And God is saying, if you'll put your faith and trust in me, and if you'll wait on me and minister to me, the very thing the devil is sending to destroy you will cause you to go higher than you've ever gone before. Hallelujah. And when it's over, you will have had an eagle's view. And you'll be renewed, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be able to turn to somebody and say, hey, wait a minute, see that storm coming against you? Let me show you what you do. Lock in those wings, keep your eyes on Jesus, and go ahead and get ready to soar, because if you'll keep trusting God and keep looking at God through the very midst of that storm and all the way through it, never take your eyes off of Jesus, He'll just take those things the devil's throwing at you and keep lifting you higher and higher and higher, and He'll get you over that thing, praise God. Now, you can't take your eyes off the Lord, because the moment you do, you'll be like Peter and you'll look around and all of a sudden, you know, I'm walking on water. Oh, I can't walk on water. And the natural man will get back in. And don't think that eagle, when he's up there flying, every now and then some wild, you know, current of air doesn't catch him and sling him a little bit. I've watched him fly and they're doing real good. And all of a sudden you'll see him work and they'll just take and adjust a little bit. And they'll take it and they'll go right on up with it, praise God. See, even if you're walking on water with Jesus, doesn't mean that the wind's not going to hit you in the face every now and then. Doesn't mean that a little splash of the spray of the water is not going to splash up against you. Why? It's trying to get your eyes back on the situation. See, Moses said you got to get your eyes off of those snakes. You got to get your eyes off the how far you got to go. You got to keep your eyes on that cross. You got to just keep your eyes on your redemption. You got to stay focused on God, because He's the one that's going to get you through. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that's going to make it work in your life. Amen? So He says, if you'll do that, He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up like wings with an eagle, and you'll run and not be weary. I want to run and not be weary. Amen? I want to run through this thing, and when it's all over, instead of just talking about the test, I want to talk about my testimony of how God got me through the test. Amen? Praise God. Now, a couple more scriptures. Look in Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is one of my favorite places to go. I spend a lot of time here in this psalm. I speak it over myself. I use it to be refreshed and renewed in my own life. And it works, praise God. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 8, David says this, "But you, Lord, are on high forevermore." That's a good way to start, isn't it? Lord, you're on high forevermore. You're the greatest of the great. And it's forever. Hallelujah. And then he goes on, he says this, He says, "For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered." What's David saying? He's saying, it ain't going to last. Wicked people are going to be scattered. Evil people are going to be put down. They're not going to rule this thing forever. I'm not going to be triumphed over by some bully. No. God's going to scatter them because the Lord is greater than this situation. Amen. I'm going to come out of this, and those that have been against God's going to not come out of this. I'm going to come out of this on top. And then look what he says in verse 10. "But my horn." See, those evil people, those people that are attacking you, and those situations are going on that the enemy's trying to use to bring you down, they're going to be scattered and they're going to fade away. "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." Hallelujah. What's he saying? The horn represents your strength. So he says, my strength has been lifted up. I've been renewed in my strength, and I'm anointed with fresh oil. That means I have a renewal taking place on the inside of me. I have a fresh anointing on the side of me, a fresh perspective, a renewed strength. Hallelujah. Why does he need that renewed strength? Verse 11, "My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me." What's he saying? He's saying, Lord, you're on high forevermore, and there are enemies out here trying to take me down. Now, let's take this away from people, and let's just say there's a devil out here, there's demons, there's attacks, there's afflictions, there's tests, there's trials. And he's saying this, everything the enemy's tried to rise up against me, Lord, you're going to scatter it, you're going to divide it, you're going to run it off. But in the midst of all that, when the enemy's trying to take me down, you're going to give me strength to rise and be strong, and you're going to anoint me with fresh oil. Hallelujah. I'm going to be renewed in my inward man. Why do I need to be renewed in my inward man? So that my eyes can see my desire on the enemy. What's that mean? That means instead of the enemy getting his way with me, I'm going to get my way with him. Hallelujah. Instead of sickness bringing me down, healing's going to bring me up. Instead of the needs taking me down, God's provision is going to bring me up. Instead of misery taking me down, joy is going to bring me up. Instead of weakness taking me down, strength's going to raise me up. Are you listening to me? Now, let's read the rest of these, beginning of verse 12 in the Amplified. Listen to what he says. "The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." I like that in the Amplified. The uncompromisingly righteous. Who's that? The guy who will not take his eyes off of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to walk with God no matter what. "The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Listen to what he says. "Be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God." You know what I do? I get up and I say, Lord, I want to thank you today and praise you that you're Lord and you're on high forevermore. And Lord, I want to thank you today that you're scattering my enemies. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I want to thank you, Lord, right now that you're anointing me with a fresh anointing. You're stirring me up and you're strengthening me, Lord God. And my strength is being renewed today. And Lord, today I will see my desire on my enemies, and I'll hear my desire against them. And I'll see you do great and mighty things in my life. And this day I choose to be uncompromisingly righteous. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to talk doubt and unbelief. I'm going to stay faithful to you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you this day, Lord, and I'm going to flourish. Hallelujah. Look what he says. And then I say this, Lord, today I'm going to be long-lived. I'm going to be stately. I'm upright. I'm useful. Hallelujah. I am fruitful, and I grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I'm majestic, I'm stable, I'm durable, and I'm incorruptible. Isn't that what he said? Listen, folks, you've got to start saying about you what God says about you. Quit saying about you what the devil says about you. Amen? And God says that the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and like a cedar in Lebanon. And so he says, I'm going to be long-lived, so I'm going to live long and prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Huh? See, people get the CD, will never know what I just did. Star Trek, Vulcan, hallelujah. Live long, prosper, praise God. Steve's having a fit in the back, praise God. Anyway. I'm long-lived, I'm stately, I'm upright, I'm useful to people. I'm fruitful. I'm going to be fruitful today. I'm going to produce good things in my life today. They shall grow like a cedar limb. I'm majestic. I'm stable. What does that mean? That means that I'm stable. You can trust me. Hallelujah. You can lean on me. You don't want to lean on something that's not stable. I'm durable. Give me your best shot, devil. I'm going to be standing when the count is done. I'm the winner here. Amen. I'm incorruptible. I refuse to backslide. I refuse to give up. I refuse to let sin in my life. I'm not going to compromise my walk with God. Listen to what else he says. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They're growing in grace. I get up every day and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm growing in your grace. That doesn't mean I have more grace. It just means I know more about the grace that I have. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. See, you can't get any more grace from God than you already have. But you can grow in that grace. And growing in grace doesn't mean you get more grace. It means you have more revelation of the grace that you have. Amen? So I'm growing in the grace of God. Meaning what? I'm learning more every day of how good my God is. So I'm growing in that grace. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age when I get old. Hallelujah. I better have an amen or two because I'm not old yet. Praise God. I always talk to the Lord. That's future. Praise God. They shall be full of sap. Some of y'all are full of sap right now. But anyway. No, let's go. I better get off this. I'm meddling. Huh? Praise God. Well, he defines what sap is. Spiritual vitality. Anybody here having spiritual vitality? What's that mean? That means you're excited in your spirit. It means there's some presence in you. There's some anointing in you. There's expectation in you. People get around you and they feel God's presence. There's spiritual vitality. They're rich in the verdure of the trust and love and contentment of God. Amen. I'm walking in this. Listen to what he says. They are living memorials. What's that mean? You and I, what's a memorial? It's something that's been set up to bring honor to whoever it was set up for. Amen? Meaning what? You and I are to walk around and people look at us and say, that's a living memorial to the grace of God. That person is a living memorial to how good God is. My, they went through some tests and trials. They should have been destroyed. And they're standing there praising God. That's a living memorial to how good God is. It makes them think of how great God is when they see you and I keeping our eyes on Jesus, being renewed in our spirit, and refusing to let the affliction take us down. It says, they are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. Isn't that good? You and I, it should be our goal every day to be a living memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should, don't try to hide that you're going through tests and trials. People know you're going through tests and trials. But what you do is instead of trying to hide your tests and trial, don't try to hide your praise. Don't try to hide your expectation. Don't try to hide. Are you listening to me? A lot of times we hide our faith and expose our tests. When what we ought to be doing is this, get your eyes off of the test. Yes, it's there. We're not ignoring that there's a test. We're not ignoring there's an affliction. He says many are the afflictions. But what we're doing is this. We're not looking at the affliction. We're looking at the one who's going to get us out of the affliction. My faith is in God, not in the problem. And so therefore, I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. And I'm going to show the world that He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in Him. I'm going to show the world that God didn't put me in this, but God's going to get me out. God didn't do this to me, but God's going to do something for me in it. Amen? And my faith is in Him. And I'm not going to let you talk me away from looking to something other than God. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to surrender an inch. I'm going to stay faithful and uncompromisingly righteous to my God. Amen? Now, they came to Moses and they repented and said, Lord, you know, pray the Lord, help us over in Numbers 21. And Isaiah, we saw that if we'll turn to God, wait upon the Lord, minister to the Lord, He'll renew our strength like the eagles. And here we see in Psalm 91 that if we'll turn to the Lord and declare He is Lord forever and that He is over everything, that He will give us a fresh anointing, He'll strengthen us, and He'll do all these wonderful things to us. Then in Acts 3:19, the Amplified reads it this way. They came to Peter after he preached to them and he says, so repent. Here's his answer, how to walk with God. Repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. You see, the affliction came to get you to walk away from God. Get you to not believe God. Get you to murmur against God, to fuss at God, or get discouraged or impatient. So the first thing you do is repent. See, we hear repent and everybody thinks, oh, I mean, I got to crawl to the altar. And No. Repent means a change of attitude. He tells you what it is. Change your mind and purpose. Meaning what? My purpose is no longer to fuss and feel like I'm losing it or God's not for me or why me, Lord? Repentance means I'm changing my mind about this. God is for me. God didn't do this to me. And God's going to get me out. And my purpose is not to be afflicted. My purpose is get delivered from the affliction. Are you hearing me? Huh? My purpose is to get healed if I'm sick. My purpose is to get joy if I'm depressed. My purpose is to have faith if I'm in fear. My purpose is to walk in love if I'm angry and feeling hatred. So I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to return to Him. I'm going to look to Him, praise God. And look what He says. God will then, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean. Now, what's going to happen when I bring myself to God in the midst of my test, even if I've done messed up? That times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. What'd you do? You got yourself back in His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is life evermore. In His presence is peace that passes all understanding. In His presence is a fresh anointing. In His presence is everything you need to give you victory over the test. And you know what's so great about it? He says that times are refreshing. Not just a time, but times. That means what? That means there's more than one. I can have continual times of refreshing in my spirit coming from the presence of the Lord. Why do I need continual times of refreshing coming into my spirit? Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so for every affliction that comes your way, there is a time of refreshing that's waiting on you in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So some of you right now, what you need to do is take your eyes off of the situation that the enemy's tried to put you in. And turn your eyes to Him. Why? Because right in the midst of your test right now, God has a time of refreshing, a time of renewal. And what happens when you get in His presence and receive that refreshing? It's a fresh anointing. What's the anointing do? The anointing destroys the yoke and rolls the burden away and sets you free. Aren't you ready to receive? Aren't you ready to come out of your test? Amen. Listen, you know what's so wild about that story in Numbers 21? They had to stop there because those snakes were biting them and they couldn't go on and they had to get with God. And God took care of them. But you know, He put a pole up there and they, after they got delivered from the snakes, they were no closer to their finish line than they were whenever the snakes came out. The difference was their attitude. And because of their attitude changing, they were able to get over to the place where they were heading. Hallelujah. See, the enemy wants to get you into a situation where he can stop you from getting to where you're going. Don't let him have that privilege of doing it. Don't let him have the joy of saying he stopped you from getting to the finish line. Amen. And when you get to the finish line, you're standing there rejoicing. He says, yeah, but you got bit by a snake. And yeah, and it didn't kill me either. Hallelujah. Huh? And by the way, Mr. Devil, I learned not to get in a snake pit from now on. Praise God. Amen. And I learned from that. And I grew in that. And that light affliction, which was sent to bring destruction in my life, worked for me a far more greater weight of glory. Because I realized that God will get me through that situation. Amen. And it became a revelation that God will bless me. God doesn't just bless the pastor. He doesn't just bless the leaders. God blessed me. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, it's always better when you can add the me to the end of blessing. Amen. I rejoice when you get blessed. But whenever it happens in my life, it changes me forever. Amen.